Breakfast, lunch,
and now dinner's coming. So you're getting three for the price of one today. Is this working? Testing? Is it? Doesn't sound like it is. I'm on, okay. I think.
Yeah. Let's see. On. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. You can hear me here? Okay. I'm going to share a short little story with you. It's true. This isn't some joke I picked up off the web. This week, I forget when it was, honey, Thursday morning or something like that. When I woke up, Holy Ghost was there and he was talking to me. And I got these thoughts were going through my mind about how the people of the world spent so much time, as Kelly Varner says, fluffing and buffing themselves, you know, getting the hair done and everything, you know. And I got to thinking to myself, I said, well, you know, Lord, it's every time you turn the TV on, that's all you see is all these commercials, you know, the world. It marinates you in that stuff, you know. And I said, you know, I see guys running down the beach with these six-pack abs, you know, and I said, disturbs me. And he says, why should it disturb you? He said, are you envious of those six-pack abs? Because he says, you got a whole kettle that your belt goes around. Okay, all right. Okay. Do you really think that came from above or from below, Oscar? I'm still trying to figure out if that was the Holy Spirit or if it was some other fella. But I really heard that, honestly. Well, praise God. So much is happening. So much is happening in the inner world today, in our hearts. God's working with the confusion in here to clear up the confusion so we can bring the clarity and the light of the life of Jesus Christ to the world. I wrote a poem some time back. I'm not going to read the whole poem, just one little line from it. The spotless Lamb of God was slain to show the world God's love. And now he's coming back again to reign in the power of love. One of the things, I generally wing it when I come up here anyway, because I come up here and I'm telling you, I have got scriptures, you know, that I could read and read and read and read. A lot of good facts. But I want you to hear the reality of what I'm trying to say. And the only way you're going to hear the reality of what I'm trying to say is through the Spirit. I can talk my head off up here, but if you don't have your ears up that God gave you, you got ears. I'm not going to pray that God gives you ears to hear. We got ears. We just need to get those antennas of desire up. You know, I desire to hear the Word of God. You know, if you're sitting here today and your life is mundane and it's the same old, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit here this morning because I've just got too much stuff. As the Lord kept giving me stuff, I said, well, Lord, you know, what are you saying here? I mean, it just goes on and on and on, like me right now, I guess. But he said, I want my people to enter into rest. I want my people to enter into rest. There's a rest that remaineth for the people of God, Hebrews says. And it says, God wants us to know, and I don't know who I heard this from. This isn't originally from me. This might be a Kelly Varnell colloquialism or whatever.
But God wants us to know, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm sorry. God wants us to know that the work is finished. It's truly finished. So live in the now of my promises. Live in the now of my promises. The Lord wants us to believe and move into his promises and his benefits through his grace and his love that he has for us. Those are the two pillars, the Lord said, that hold up the gate which leads unto life. He said, broad is the gate to destruction, and there's many there be that go in to that gate. Narrow is the gate, and straight is the way which leads unto life. And the Lord is saying, it's grace and love are the pillars to enter into life. God keeps stressing life to me. He wants his people to walk in that Zoe, that agape type stuff. God's getting ready to move his people out of the place where they're at right now. Hopefully, none of us in this room are satisfied with where we're at in Christ. Hopefully, none of us are satisfied with where we are in Christ, because he has so much more to offer, because he is so much more than we can even think or imagine. He is abundantly beyond our natural mind. But thank God that through salvation, when you accepted Jesus, he gave you the mind of Christ. And we're not operating with two minds anymore. Well, I don't know about that, Brother Wilson. I can just hear that, you know, as soon as I say that. We're not operating with two minds. He doesn't want us to operate with two minds anymore. Hang with me. He wants us to start meditating. Oh, geez, I hope I brought that. He wants us to start meditating on his omnipotence. Now, this I did get off the web. His omnipotence means that he's all-powerful. He has all supreme power. This means that God is able and will do whatever he wants to do. It means he is not subject to physical limitations like man is. Being omnipotent, God has power over the wind, the water, the gravity, physics. God's power is infinite and it's limitless. Jesus walked with that consciousness of his Father. Jesus, even though his feet was on the ground, his heart and his mind was on the Father. Even though he walked in the earth realm, he said that the Son of Man, even now, is in heaven. Okay? And right now, he's raising up a people, you, that we all have our feet on terra firma, but he's saying, come up here. How many times have we heard that in the past couple of years? Because I believe that this is when the Lord started moving corporately in the earth. Now, I know he moves individually in all of us. Whatever our needs, our desires are, God will meet those needs and he'll meet those desires. But in the past couple of years, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm calling my body up here. I want them to come up here in their understanding and in their consciousness of where they're at. Jesus, you know, he had power over the wind and over the water. He knew who he was in the Father. He knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He wants us to start coming up to the realization that we are sons of God and we are one with him. And he wants to live his life as us in the earth. He wants to live his life through us, as us in the earth. And so knowing the Father as well as Jesus did. He had power over the wind, over the water, over gravity. He could walk on the water. Gravity didn't affect him. He also knew the omniscience of his Father. Means his Father's all-knowing. God is all-knowing in the sense that he is aware of the past, the present, and the future. And praise God, aren't you glad that God knows the past and the present and the future? With God, it's all now. There is no past. With us, we're in this time dimension. We think in terms of things that pass by, and Paul said, don't look back at the things. Forget about those things, you know? And so omniscience means that God is all-knowing in the sense that he is aware of the past, present, and future. Nothing takes him by surprise, and his knowledge is total. He knows all that there is to know and all that can be known. I thank God that he knows all things, and when he looks at us, he sees the future. He sees the finished work. He does not look at your spots, your blemishes, and your wrinkles. God wants us to walk with a new mindset. Come up here. He wants us to walk with a new mindset. It's kind of like when Marge and I went to Gatlinburg on our honeymoon. I can just imagine if I would have said to Marge when we were getting close to each other, oh, honey, what did you have to eat at the reception today? What do you mean? What did I have to eat? Well, you know, there's a little, you know. But I'm overlooking. It's no big deal. But one thing I didn't notice, even all the years that we were dating, this lump on the back of your neck. Your hair always used to hide that. Where'd that come from? In other words, when she and I are getting intimate, I start looking at the spots and the blemishes. And I think that because of religion, false thinking, whatever, precepts, concepts that we've picked up, we've been marinated in, through the world, through the devil, through religion, we think that every time we draw near to the Lord, he starts looking at our spots. He wants us to be intimate with him. He sees the finished product. He was the one that started the work in us, and he knows. He's capable. You're not capable. I'm not capable of bringing myself to perfection. And I don't have to bring myself to perfection because he's already brought me to perfection. Be perfect. We be perfect. We be perfect. And anytime you start becoming of a double mind, surely a double-minded man shall receive nothing. Now, it isn't that the Lord doesn't want to continue to give you, and he still will, even in our double-mindedness, even in our mixture of law and grace. He still continues to pour out to us because he knows where we're at in this earth realm. J. Preston Eby, I would encourage you all to get his newsletter. He talked about there are three realms that the book of Revelation talks about. It talks about the heavens, talks about the earth, and it talks about the sea. And Eby was saying that there are three levels of consciousness, and God wants us to come up into the heavens. Because Revelation 12 said, rejoice, O heavens, rejoice. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you. What are you saying, Brother Jim? Well, I'm not saying I'm walking in the heavens all the time. Don't misunderstand me, you know. But I'm sure trying to get out of this earth realm. I sure am. In the earth realm, in the sea realm, Eby pointed out that it's simply an individual that just doesn't know God, period. That's the sea of humanity. that the Lord, the Holy Ghost, is talking about. Then in the earth realm, it's the Christian community, millions upon millions, that know the Lord, but they're carnal. They mix the spirit with the carnal mind. And so we come up with all kind of precepts and concepts. And you can go into a multitude of churches out there, and they all have their own precepts and concepts, and we just eat them up. We just eat them up. And it ends up eating us up. It ends up eating us up. Jesus said, eat of me. Eat of me. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. That if you eat of me, you'll never die. That's what he said. He said, you'll never die. If you can get the revelation and let me reveal all these truths to you and the depths of these truths, that Calvary did it all for you. Calvary did it all for you. If you'll come to me and let me reveal the finished work of Calvary, you will start coming up here. You'll start coming up into a new realm of consciousness and most of all relationship. Intimate relationship with God. He's also omnipresent, means he's all present. This term means that God is everywhere at the same time. It means his divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. There is no location where he does not inhabit. Omnipresence indicates that God is distinct from the universe, but he inhabits the entirety of it. He is everywhere at once. The reason why God can say, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and this is what dawned on me, it's because I'm everywhere. I'm in you. I'm omnipresent. You can't go anywhere. I'm in your tomorrow, even before you get there. Praise God. When we start coming to some of the revelations, when we let Jesus reveal these things to us by his grace, and we start coming into the understanding that he is everywhere, that he is all we need. He is all we need. When was the last time Jesus prayed for healing for himself? Never. Never. When was the last time Jesus prayed, Father, I got to get the yoke fixed on the ox, and I just don't have the dough. When did he pray for finances? Never. Because he knew that the Father knew even before he would even ask what his need was. And I think scriptures bear that out. Don't you know that I know what you have need of before you even ask? There's nothing wrong with asking. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a lot of things that we've been into, a lot of things that we've thought that were righteous, were right. And the Lord is saying, I want you to start questioning some of the answers you think you have. I want you to start questioning some of the answers you think you have. And draw near to God. This is all a work of grace. I once heard Varner or somebody say, no, it was Lynn Hiles. He said, when you work, God rests. But when you rest, God works. Isn't that cool? When you rest, the Lord says, I'll work. But if you want to work, then I'll rest. If you think you can work this thing out within your own self, you got another thing coming. And I know the ones that are working it out within themselves because it's always one trial, one test after another. Test, trial, suffering. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't any suffering. Don't misunderstand me. You will suffer persecution if you try and live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And you're living in a fallen, corrupt, dark world. And all you have to do is turn on the news when you walk out of here today and hear about how ISIS just chopped off another 10 heads, okay? And the character over in North Korea is thinking about pushing the button. If China doesn't push it first. And I had a thought a couple of weeks ago, and the thought was this. If they push the button, this is a negative thought, but think about it just for a second. We're not going to dwell here, okay? But if China and North Korea pushed the buttons, and they came over and they totally obliterated everything, it's good Sherry's not here right now. Kroger's would be gone. Kroger's would be gone. Cars and transportation would be gone because you can't get gas for them. You'd have nothing. Your family would have nothing. What are you going to be left with? What are you going to be left with? Amen. Because, you know, that's a possibility. I'm not some prophet standing up here saying it's going to happen and all that because I have no knowledge, you know. But it's a possibility. So we might want to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith, Paul said. You know, let me take everything away from you right now. Let me take your cars away from you. Let me take your pocketbooks, your purses, and your wallets. What are you going to be left with? And it was just the thought that hit me. I mean, I'm just kind of passing along to you guys. Yeah, we all have the stock answers, so on and so forth. We'll have faith in Jesus, which was good, Kathy. I agree 100%. But are we really walking in faith? Or are we walking in some kind of a mental ascent? We believe, because I believed in Jesus when I first got saved, but it's more than just believing for our little box of salvation. It's going on. Believeth, he that believeth unto me. God wants us to continue to believeth unto him. He wants us to come up here. You know, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs 15:24. It says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell below. And I'll tell you something, folks. This place can be hell. This earth can be hell. It really can. Now, I mean, God is good and God's wonderful and he's always there. But this world can be hell. So it says, the way of life, truth, is above to the wise that he may depart from the hell below. And then it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death or perishing. Death doesn't necessarily mean he's going to throw you into eternal hell's fire and burn you up forever. It's just that when you take the apple off the tree, it starts perishing. I noticed an apple at our house we had a couple of weeks ago, a beautiful apple, and every night that I would walk by it, I didn't eat it, but every night I walked by it, it started getting a little bit more wrinkly, and it started getting some brown spots on it. And the Lord says, that's what perishing is. That apple is losing its life because it was plucked from its source of life. Okay? So it just started perishing. And that's what happens to us when we get so caught up with everything. We start getting wrinkles and, you know what I'm saying? But I guess that's a... Here's a song that Mars and I heard on radio. It says, I spent my whole life beating up on me, always coming up short of who I wanted to be. Then one night an old preacher man helped me find the way. He raised that old black book up high, and I heard him say, it's not what you do, it's what I've done. And the Lord's trying to lift these burdens off of us. because I really think that we have this double vision of God. God is good. God is love. But watch out. But watch out. And we've got to understand that when Jesus came to earth, one of the main reasons why he came to earth and laid his life down was to reveal the nature of the Father to his creation. It was God in Christ reconciling us back to him. We needed reconciliation because of how we thought about him. We had this image of him. He wasn't reconciling himself to you. Because the Lord told me, I never left you. I know that's what you've been told. That's what religion will tell you, that I left you. I never left you. I'll never leave you. I sent my son to reconcile you back to me. Because of your carnal mind, because of your funny ideas and precepts and concepts that you had of the Father. And Jesus came to reveal the Father. And what did Jesus do? Everywhere he went, he met needs. He healed the sick. He loved everybody. The prostitutes, the whoremongers, the tax collectors, the wine bibbers. He never had an unkind word for the exception of the religious people. He said, you search the scriptures, you know them by heart, and this is how you identify yourself, because you have a lot of knowledge, and you identify yourself by that, and you say, well, I'm pretty mature because I read the book 100 times. I might even be a teacher. And that's how a lot of times we identify ourselves as far as our maturity. But the Lord says, anytime you ask me for a gift, anytime you ask me for wisdom and knowledge, I'll give it to you because it's to bless, to edify, and encourage my body. But it doesn't mean you're someone spiritual. It doesn't mean you're someone mature. And this is what Paul dealt with in the Corinthians church. He said, you speak with tongues, you prophesy, you do this, you do that, but you don't know the love of the Father for you. You don't know the love of the Father for you. You don't know. But you'll ask me for gifts, and I told you to desire gifts because I desire to bless you. And I've raised up the fivefold ministry to bless you. And there's some real scoundrels in the fivefold ministry. But they still bless you because of God's grace flowing through them. Even though their motives may be financial, to become extremely wealthy, God's still going to use them. The gifts are given without repentance. And Paul went on, you could have the faith to remove mountains and so on and so forth. But if you don't know the Father's love for you, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has shed abroad the love of God. Well, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The love of God, has been placed in your heart. It doesn't say that the Holy Spirit or that the love for God has been shed abroad in your heart. It doesn't say the love of God or the love of your brethren has been shed abroad in your heart. Paul said the love of God has been shed abroad. God wants us to love. He wants us to walk in love. But the only way we're going to be able to walk in love is by his grace as he imparts his faith and raises us up into the oneness with him that we already have. That's the good news. That's the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We already have this oneness with God. We're already one with him. We're already married to Him. We're already seated in heavenly places with Him. We are complete in Him. Now, you know, I can sit here and read them off and give you chapter and verse, but praise God, you guys are all knowledgeable enough that when you hear me speak, you know that it's Scripture that's coming out of my mouth. But you still need to test it. You know, even Paul, who was an outstanding apostle, when he ministered and preached and what have you, the Bereans went home and said, let's check him out. I know he took a snake that was a viper and threw it off his hand or whatever, and I've seen him raise the dead and heal the sick, but let's get the Scriptures out and see if what. I know you have tried them that say they are apostles, the book of Revelation says. Is any of this making sense? Because God's calling us up to a higher place. And it's only by His grace that we're going to go higher. It isn't by any of your works, lest any man should boast. Paul said, when I boast, I make my boast in the Lord. I glory in the Lord. I don't glory in my gifts. I don't glory in my wisdom. I don't glory in my knowledge. I glory in Him. That's who I glory in. Amen. We're just about wrapping it up here. The Old Testament in Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, that consciousness, the heavens are higher than the earth, the carnal realm, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Thank God that's an Old Testament scripture, because in the New Testament He says, for you have the mind of Christ. For you have the mind of Christ. I don't think they did in the Old Testament. I think they had anointings and what have you. But anyway, praise God. God is doing something that is just so awesome. Therefore now, I know we got to keep a balance here, but the Lord wants this word out, because this is the hour for the fullness of God. Therefore now you have no need of a man to teach you, for the anointing which I have placed or abides in you, you know all things. I know it's got to be balanced, Brother O. I know. But we need to hear this word. I know that there's still some of us that are drinking milk. I know there's some that are eating bread. And I know that there's some that's eating meat. And sometimes it's difficult to minister to a large group of people. It's much easier to minister one-on-one with somebody, because the Lord specifically will speak a word to them. I don't even try and find out where they're at, to be honest with you, because where they're at is immaterial to me, because God knows where they're at. And the word that God gives you is exactly what they need. So, I don't judge where people are at. I don't care. I just love them and say, Lord, what is it? Lord, quickens your spirit. You see somebody, I see people out in the lobby, I bring them back in my office. I just start talking to them. The love of God constraineth me. I remember the day that I was so busy, and I was going by the lobby, and there was a guy sitting out there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want to speak to him through you. I said, Lord, I just don't have the time today. Not today. You know, bring him back in tomorrow or so. It was kind of a wrestling match with the Lord. And all of a sudden, I stopped in my tracks, and I went back, talked with the man, tried to give him an encouraging word. And when I walked away, he says, now you know what Paul meant when he said, the love of God constraineth me. Praise God. Praise God. No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Jesus answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven or from above. He that cometh from above is above all, the Lord Jesus. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth, of the things of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all and speaketh about the things in heaven. Is our conversation in heavenly places? Where is our conversation at? I'm sorry. Sometimes I think I get a little long-winded. Okay. I guess this is all, I don't know, has it been real serious or something? Or have I been too serious for you? Well, I'll finish with this. But he continued, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. The Message Bible says this. Jesus said, you're tied down. Hear this and I'll close. I know I got your attention now. Jesus said in John 8:23, you're tied down to the mundane. I'm in touch with what is beyond your horizons. God has a higher vision for us. He wants us to come up and see him and see the vision. You live in terms of what you see and touch, the Message says. I'm living on other terms. I told you that you were missing God. You're at a dead end. If you won't believe I am who I say I am, you're at a dead end and you're missing God. Wow, that is powerful. And the definition of the word mundane is humdrum, dull, boring, tiresome, wearisome, repetitious, day-to-day, run-of-the-mill. And I added bullcrap to the end of it. Just, you know, do you find yourself in a situation where, God, you know, what are you going to do with me? What's going on? It's just the same old, over and over again. And the Lord is saying, come up here. Come up here. You'll get excited. I'll show you what I've got in store for you, wings, and you'll get excited. You come on up here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, that you are everywhere, and that you can meet and exceed every need that we have. It's just a lot of times, Lord, we think we need this and we need that and we need this. And when we don't get it, we say, God, what's the deal here? And we lay all that stuff off on you because it's our carnal mind. But the Spirit says, you know I love you down deep. I said that I would provide for you. I said that I would meet all your needs according to my riches in glory. Maybe we want too many things down here in the carnal realm, in the earth realm. He's saying, come up into the heavenlies with me. And you won't need those things that are in the earth. They will grow strangely dim to you when you come up here. And the reason why I'm sharing this word this morning is because I don't know what lies ahead. But I want us all to be walking in heavenly places. We're the first fruits of God. And we've got to be in heavenly places. And if there are any catastrophes in the United States or whatever, not only for our own sake, but God wants to use you to reveal his glory to a lost and dying world. When I was lost, it was always, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then when I got saved that night in that hotel room, it was holy, holy, holy. Lord God, the whole earth is filled with your glory. Praise God. Again, we thank you, Lord, for this food. And God, we know that no man can receive anything unless it comes from heaven. Help us, God, to understand that the cross did it all. That the cross did it all. Jesus said, I come to do my Father's will. And then he said, it is finished. It is finished. We just got to come into the understanding or come up to the dimension where Jesus is calling us into. It's a safe harbor. It's a shelter. It's not a shadow. He wants us to do away with the shadows He isn't interested in you walking in the shadows anymore. He wants you to be one with Him. If you're in somebody's shadow, you're walking outside of them. You're close, but you're walking outside. The Lord says, I don't want you to be close anymore. I want you to become one with me. I want to get married to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, we got lunch here. Father, bless the food and bless the hands that prepared it. Praise the Lord.